Hey, it is now Wednesday. This is April the 21st, 2010. Will there be, at some point in world history, a nuclear blast? So I'm reading here with an article coming out from the Federation of American Scientists. It talks about the result of a blast. And I'm quoting right now, there's a considerable overlap between the pressure of a nuclear-produced blast and shock and that of air drag produced in strong hurricanes. So it goes on to say, it talks about as a result of a very high temperatures and pressures at the point of detonation, the hot gases, residues, move outward radically from the center of the explosion with very high velocities. Most of this material is contained within a relatively thin, dense shell known as a hydrodynamic front, acting much like a piston that pushes against the compresses the surrounding medium. The front transfers energy to the atmosphere by impulse and generates a steep-fronted, spherically expanding blast or shock wave. At first, this shock wave lags behind the surface and the developing fireball. However, within a fraction of a second after detonation, the rate of the fireball decreases to such an extent that the shock catches up with and then begins to move ahead of the fireball. For a fraction of a second, the dense shock front will obscure the fireball, accounting for the characteristic double peak of light seen with a nuclear detonation. When I begin to read over some of the pictures of a nuclear blast and its devastating effects, when I look at the extent, how broad, I remember back in my college days reading a little book about the end of the earth and a picture of a nuclear holocaust, a war in which nukes are used. And we understand that Russia and the United States alone have the ability to, destroy the entire earth maybe 30 times over. I mean, like an overkill. I mean, once that it's destroyed, of course, who's going to pull the button? Who's going to push, you know, the red switch then? But there is this reality that nuclear weapons can devastate cities, devastate nations. If there's an exchange, could bring an end to humanity. And there's been that belief. I lived in a day in the 60s in which, as a kid in grade school, there were drills. Even then, there was still talk of nuclear bomb shelters and families having a bomb shelter. When a nuclear weapon would strike the earth, wherever, taking out all of New York, taking out all of Los Angeles, all of London. I mean, the devastating effects, the millions that could absolutely perish. Now, do I believe that the end of the world will be caused by a nuclear exchange? No. See, because biblical prophecy has been infallibly accurate in every single case so far. Hundreds of prophecies, some 1,000 years in advance, others 700 years in advance, in every detail, as the Spirit of God gives, pictures of the future. Even as we read in the New Testament, when biblical prophecy gives us the glimpses of what God will do, what Satan will do, what mankind will do, what will be happening on the face of the earth, the great chaos to come, the rise of the Antichrist, the opening of the abyss, wormwood, destruction all over the earth, one-third of the earth being scorched. When we think in terms of even the beginning of all of this, the great or the rebellion, the revolt, the chaos, the anarchy, even taking a look at the red horse, which we're going to take a look today. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. We are going through a series this week. It's called The Catastrophic Devolution of the environment of creation. It involves Monday night's title was Creation is Awesome, Alive, and a Witness, but it's not well. And it focuses on not only God creating and creation being sentient, alive, aware, but groaning in travail and in decay. Now, on Tuesday night, we followed up with that with the title Creation's Catastrophic Decay, Rape, and Coming Collapse. And I pointed last night on Tuesday night to a few of these issues for Wednesday this night between 6 and 7. Creation and the coming global destruction. Could it be that New Agers and elitists and Luciferians are really at fault? Well, listen, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. We're glad to be with you this 1 hour. We're here live 4 times a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. And listen, they're all archived, and we know that thousands and thousands of you download those archives, and we're glad for that. And I want you to know that this is an hour of providence, an hour of God's interaction with all of us, and that whoever you are listening and wherever you are, may I say that I know that God loves you. I know that God knows who you are, and I know that God wants you more than anyone. And I know that there are catastrophic effects because of sin and the entrance of a dark and radical presence. I mean, the sin code in us right now. I mean, the fact of, quote, the end of the world. I mean, there's the end of us individually. It is destined that a man wants to die. The wages of sin is death. God said in the beginning, don't do it. Don't do it. One single verse of the Word of God would have preserved the majesty, the eternality, the immortality of the human race as it was in Genesis 1 and 2. But in Genesis 3, in the depiction of the fall of the human race, there is the spiritual fracture, and there is the psychological, the mental, the emotional, there is the social, the economic, the environmental. There is the curse on the earth because of the entrance of sin and contamination, because of the legalities of a fallen cherub and the entire dark regime becoming the god of this age, the one in control of the whole world, as we read in 1 John 5. We find that the dark presence, satanic presence, is like a toxic. And there is literally a pollution, a contamination. Even in the Old Testament, when the land itself can, because of demonic worship, because of the incredible, detestable things, land can become so polluted. There is a spiritual sense of a nuclear holocaust at the inception, at the fall of the human race. Everything was devastated. And we have not experienced what it was to be a human being before the fall of the human race. We don't know what it's like to be in direct and personal fellowship with God in such a way that it's absolutely so real, so normal, and seeable, visible, walking with God in the cool of the evening. We don't have any idea of what it was like to have a body that was immortal already. There was no death. God did not create death. God said that this thing called death could come. That it's like a code that is entered into the human, well, DNA, the genetics. It's inseparably connected to the issue of sin. The wages of sin is death. So says the book of Romans. We read in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 that the reason that God became flesh, the reason he entered in was to destroy the one that held the power over death, that was the devil. So with the issue of sin, the issue of death, the issue of Satan, there is an inseparable connection. you listening and the one speaking right now live in physical bodies that are decaying, that are dying, and that are separate from God if we don't know Him. That without the Spirit of God on the inside and the gift of the rescue, the gift of eternal life, the gift that conquers the death code, the sin code, Satan's legalities, hell itself, without that gift, we are not only separate now, we will be separate for eternity, for sure. And it's all about whether or not you want God or not. Now listen, I've said many times in the past that if you do not want God now, you will not get God afterwards. It's all about now. It's about the Creator becoming the Redeemer and the Redeemer being at the cross. It's about the infinite, immeasurable, immortal God at the cross in a demonstration of the love of God for your life. Where I always say that at the foot of the cross is the declaration of the value of humanity. Your value is measured at the foot of the cross, where God gave in substitute for you because He loved you, because you and I as humanity cannot fix the issue of the death code, the sin code, the separation. We can't climb the mountain and get back to God by ourselves. So again, in this third part of this, the catastrophic devolution of the environment, Wednesday night's title, The Creation and the Coming Global Destruction. I mean, there are events that have occurred all around us that we know. The tsunami, massive, unbelievable almost. Over a couple hundred thousand dead. In China, in Chile, in Haiti, in Iceland, volcanoes, hurricanes, and the prediction of the constant decay of creation because it's been infected, because it's in bondage. And again, I will encourage you to study deeply because it involves, and if you are, green in your concept of the environment, if you are someone that cares about the environment, but you don't understand that the environment, creation, is infected, that it is in the progressive development of more decay, that more earthquakes, more volcanoes, more hurricanes, more devastating events will occur the closer we get to the end of days. Now, it is my opinion that with the corresponding rise of demonic presence and the eventual release, apocalypse of Antichrist, the pinnacle of demonic manifestation worldwide will bring a corresponding toxic effect into the environment that literally brings even more destruction, disintegration, corruption, pollution. And then this catastrophe clashes with the rise of the beast kingdom and the wrath of God. It involves the environment. So this is dealing with biblical prophecy concerning massive catastrophic environmental events. Al Gore does not have this down because it's not just about global warming. It is about global spiritual battle. It is about that your life and my life has been infected, and because of us, because of sin, because of Satan, the creation is now infected, has been since the beginning now, a curse on the infected, corrupted creation that will only be lifted, Revelation 22. Now, Friday, we're going to talk about the new earth and the lifting of the curse. And the redemption that we see at the cross is what purchases the redemption. Does God care about the environment? You better believe it. We read on Tuesday night, Revelation chapter 11, concerning God destroying those who destroy the earth. And the picture there is that those that have joined the spirit-guided globalism, the Luciferic elite, and those connected and committed to the rise of the Antichrist, that they are at blame. They are at fault. that God brings judgment on those that destroy the earth. Now, you can read it yourself in Revelation. It is future prophecy, but because of those that will believe the lie, push the lie that involves every possible attempt to oust God and be opposed to God. It is a day of the secret power of lawlessness rising in its pinnacle with the, well, the Anthroposonomos, the man of lawlessness. And that will bring about, everything is about a masqueraded peace, a masqueraded economic, political, military salvation. What really is going to happen as New Agers and those with the precursors that have already accepted the spirits that are guiding this rise of the New Age. Never forget Ephesians 2. The prince of the power of the eros, the atmosphere around the earth, that presence. Some have called the field, some have called the Akashic record, some have called the collective unconscious. Something living right out there in the dense atmosphere there that encircles the globe. A presence. Oh, not only on the ground, demonization, territorial sites, but operative from the immediate dense atmosphere, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now supernaturally operative in those who are disobedient. Now, the disobedient simply are this: those without the Spirit of God, those who live in separation from God, those who continue to believe in a spiritual alternative and that involves a alternative Christ, alternative revelations, everything that would be contrary to God, lawlessness, the spiritual opposition to God. So as the spirits, they've been ramping up in their doctrine and agenda and so forth, we're seeing this development, and I'm going to say again that Revelation chapter 11 does give this picture of God bringing judgment to those who destroy. He's going to destroy those who destroy the earth. So there in that one small piece of biblical prophecy is a revelation that there are, you know, that humankind, that individuals on a global scale will be responsible for the, well, for destroying the earth. There is a moral accountability. There is a spiritual accountability to those who will bring destruction to the earth. Now, we will look again at the reasons for a new earth. When glorification occurs and humanity, that portion, and I pray to God you are part of this, that is returned to God in through Christ, that has been redeemed, that has the Spirit of God within them through Jesus, and that has the gift of eternal life, and that in that first resurrection that will be accomplished in the twinkling of an eye, a flash on a atomic level by the exertion of the power of God, the mortality, the frail, shall put on indestructible immortality. That is the reason for the cross where Christ died. And I say to the New Agers and to the psychics and to the remote viewers and to the seekers that your counterfeit, de-deified, pocket-sized, fake, psychic, alien-oriented Jesus is no Christ at all. The fake Christ of the Gnostics, of Hindu spirituality, you know, drawing God down. And in every single case, there is this view that Jesus is nothing more than a higher being on a higher plane. And all of that tells me that individuals who have written about that, speak about that, and believe that have been guided by, well, planos, seducing spirits, 1 Timothy 4:1. They have been absolutely indoctrinated by demonic revelation. And that demonic revelation wants to give a offer of a different revelation, of a different Christ, of a different way of, well, you can call it salvation. It's a different way that has that promise of an evolution to homo lumos or homo deity. Never has happened in human history. And I'm going to say again to all those, especially to Luciferians, to the elitists, in the undergrounds of Europe, that the finite fallen cherub has never, through any counterfeit spiritual system, evolved humanity that has embraced his lie to deity, to eternal life. He can't even do it for himself. The infinite, immeasurable God that now comes into the Logos that has always existed, John 1, became flesh for a while, tabernacled among us. Emmanuel, angels announced God in human flesh. Demons trembled, they all knew. Shockwaves in their entire domain. That's why Satan wanted the Christ child destroyed. That's why the coming of Armageddon is not about the destruction of the earth, the battle between nations. Oh, you read Revelation 19:19, and you will begin to discover that that Satanists, Luciferians, New Age globalists are pawns in the hands of one that seeks a third attempt to stop and then to annihilate God. It's all there in Revelation chapter 19, in the descent of the visible Christ, as he's promised. Look who's waiting. Look who's on the field. Now, Armageddon is the kind of the last day of fallen human history, basically. Prior to that, there are events that have occurred that have brought a scorching of the earth, a third, some say fourth, a massive, again and again and again, creation, environment is slammed. Do I believe that there's wars and rumors of wars that will involve some level of nuke, a nuke going off, a blast here, a blast there? Absolutely. I believe that's what Jesus was giving some insight to. I believe that's part of what Ezekiel 38 may be speaking about. It is part of the wars and the rumors of wars. If Iran, if other nations, if a nuclear suitcase bomb, however it occurs, I think that it's most likely that that will happen and will set off. And maybe timed at the time of the Black Awakening, the chaos before the New World Order. You see, the Black Awakening is not just those undergrounders that rise and create the anarchy and assassinate and kill and destroy and bomb. It's within that regime, within that underground regime, the troops of Antichrist, those in the regime, I believe will cause the grids to go down, the food chains to be broken. I believe that there will be a release on a limited, a very limited nuclear level, the battle and skirmishes in between nations, but all of that in the context of internal collapse in the United States, in England, throughout Europe, everywhere, to again bring the world to the brink, to where it feels like we are on the edge of annihilation, to where there is such panic, such bloodshed, such loss, such collapse. Governments, nations, cities, well, cities burning, millions dead. Everybody clamoring to stop it, stop it, stop it. Well, we'll get into that in just a few moments. Let me tell you again tonight, this is the third part of the series called The Catastrophic Devolution of the Environment. Actually, tonight we're talking about the creation and the coming global destruction. And I believe, again, that those that have embraced the spirit of the new age, the spirit, the prince of the power of the air, that spirit that is guiding the development of a spirit-inspired globalism that is anti-God, anti-Christ, well, anti-Israel too, that the deep undergrounders that really are guiding all of it, where the biggest and broadest of satanic doorways are open, that now the incremental approach, this old approach of step by step, little by little, deception by deception, is pretty much over. The blast, the shockwave globally is about to be felt. Let me give you some news just real quickly here. I've heard that now the airspace has been cleared from the volcano and the results enough so that in England planes are landing, planes are taking off, everything's moving. I could not believe the astounding numbers of over $600 million lost in tourist and travel and folks spending their money. It's an amazing thing that one volcano can shut down airspace. Nations. Keep presidents from visiting the funerals of other world leaders. One volcano. One. In this decaying, this progressive devolution, decaying of the earth, because of sin and Satan and the curse on a corrupted creation, God's not going to let this corrupted creation be the eternal thing. We're not going to live eternally in these fallen, decrepit, weakened bodies. No, that's why the gift of eternal life that goes to the point of glorification, and when the glorification of all those who have believed and received the gift of God in Christ occurs, creation, as I said last night, and I hope that you will study this deeply, is sentient. That it knows, that it's aware, that it's looking forward. It is waiting in eager expectation for the day of glorification, the sons of God, the children of God in glorification. That it knows that it's going to be liberated from the bondage unto decay, the bondage unto destruction, the bondage that it's been submitted to because of the infection, again, of sin, Satan, and all of the corruption. And so I want you to know that it's not this broken, decaying earth that's going to be eternal. We have a new earth coming. And again, Friday night we'll deal deeply with that. Let me mention one last time, because after Wednesday night, tonight, April the 21st, I will be in Nashville sometime tonight. And I'll be preparing and meeting the guys and all the speakers and doing some prayers and getting ready for, I think, an amazing cutting edge 2 days. Friday, April 23rd. Saturday, April 24th. I think that the speakers and the topics, listen, go to shatterthedarkness.net if you will. Scroll down to you see the Nashville Conference. And there look at or click on the www.last-days.net. Take a look. Click on the schedule. Look at what the speakers are going to be talking about. They're going to deal with the alien abduction and disclosure issues. They're going to deal with 2012 issues. They're going to deal with sorcery and pharmakia and drug issues in the end of days. Going to deal with the rise of a Luciferian ritual that empowers the coming chaos, Antichrist, and so forth. Even Armageddon cannot occur without the ritual release of demonic power. A planetary wave that New Agers are predicting is coming, but it's not what they think. We'll be talking about Armageddon, the end of history, the implications, and where we are on the timetable. We'll be talking about the, what billions have been involved with, the conspiracy, the sense, and I'm saying worldwide now, it's clear, it's in the air. The feeling is clear that catastrophic, chaotic, earth-changing events as never before in history will occur. Jesus nailed it. Infallibly, accurately, 2,000 years ago in Matthew 24. Have you read that? Can I stop you for a moment to say, we've prayed for you today. We believe that this is a one-hour moment in time for God's providence. Whether you're listening live on Wednesday night or you're listening to the archives later on, the spirit of God's motivation in my life in all of this content, can I confess, is because God loves you and wants you to know Him, to be saved, to have the living presence and power of God inside, that God would destroy, break the death code, the sin code, open your eyes, put the spirit of God in you, give you the gift of eternal life. And let me tell you something. Without that, you are lost for eternity. Without that, you may go through the most devastating times in human history. Without the Spirit of God in your life, it's very possible that you, being originally made to be a spiritual individual and have inwardly the capacity, body, soul, and spirit, and the capacity to know spiritually and to want spiritually, that the dark side would bring counterfeit spirituality and draw you. Now listen, how do you test that? Well, does the spirituality you confess guide you to God, guide you to Christ, God in human flesh, give you the gift of eternal life, bring forgiveness to all the moral guilt because of sin? Does it deal with radical evil, the end of days, and give you the ability, through the gift of salvation in Christ, the promise, witnessed by the Spirit of God within and the Word of God without, that you will see God face to face as God loves you, embraces you, and at the end of all things, the infinite, immortal, immaterial, immeasurable, God will demonstrate that God is personal. I say that for a friend that just wrote me, that believes that God's only an energy, a force. Does energy and a force, where does the intelligence come from? Can I tell you that God is emotional? God is relational? Can I point you back to Christ as when God was in human flesh there in Jerusalem, crying out, "Oh Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how often I would have." There were tears of God in Christ at the death of Lazarus. And then there is the command of Christ, "Lazarus, come forth." Listen to the words that only Jesus Christ have spoken. Only He, no one else, God in human flesh, Savior of the world. "I am the resurrection and the life. If a man die," listen, "I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone would believe in me," Jesus is talking about you. "If anyone believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." He's talking about eternal life, indestructible immortality, a new heaven and a new earth. If you're an environmentalist and you're worried about the environment, if you're concerned, there is a new age counterfeit that will, I think, come to a head when the Antichrist rises, because the cause of the dark side will bring such devastating effect in this black awakening, in this anarchy, in this chaos to the world around us, that part of the cry, part of the counterfeit offer of a savior to the world will be not only political, economic, on a military basis, peace, a masqueraded peace, but an environmental push. Billions, trillions to be used to save the environment in a in a global, in a earth that is cursed, that is decaying, that is crumbling, that God in Christ has already won the provisions of bringing a, listen, environmentalists, an entire new earth where the lamb lays down with the lion, where there is no corruption, no rape, no war, no toxic barrels at the bottom of a sea, no nuclear holocaust, no fears of a indestructible and eternal. This is what Christ will bring, but a counterfeit is being offered that will cause and bring, well, destruction to the earth because of them. New Agers, Luciferians, those committed in that direction will be swallowed up in the most spiritual, forceful masquerade in human history. Jesus said there's going to be no greater deception, no greater destruction, no greater, well, Jesus said unprecedented. As a matter of fact, Jesus talked about that if he did not cut those days short, no flesh could survive. So a lot of what I'm talking about here will be discussed in Nashville in some of the cutting edge insights to the end of days, last days, will be discussed in Nashville April 23rd, 24th, 2010. I tell you that it's absolutely a providentially set up conference. So for the believers out there, pray for all of Friday and Saturday. Cover and saturate. We urge and ask your prayers. If you're able to come to Nashville, get there. I just got a letter from a friend today. They said they'll see me on Friday. They're flying into Nashville. People from 17 other states, maybe more now, are coming into Nashville to the last day's conference. So if you want to know more about it, all the speakers, all the schedule, all the topics and so forth, take a look, shatterthedarkness.net, down, scroll down, and click on where it talks about the lastdays.net conference where Nashville is mentioned. Now, the four incredible events that I think that is very clear the scriptures speak about. Unbelievably, let me read Revelation 9. Revelation 9 in just a moment. Back in reference to, number one, the anarchy, the chaos, the catastrophic chaos, I believe, plotted, planned, devised by the dark side. I believe that is really the secret power of lawlessness already operating, hidden, ready, the troops of Antichrist, the cause of the collapse of the United States of America, England, Europe, other areas. I believe it's already there and bulging at the seams, ready to break out. They talk about a satanic counterfeit Pentecost. A release of demonic presence so vast, so big, never equaled in all of history. Past. The revolt, the rebellion, the anarchy, the undergrounders have called it and told me. They've called it the Black Awakening because of the idea of dark spirits, dark spiritual power, satanic blast of presence that unleashes the plotted, planned, devised anarchy. I do believe millions will die, border wars and skirmishes. It may even kick off with a limited nuclear release and battles and war. I believe the anarchy will bring such devastation that spiritually everything will be like a frenzy. When I read about the white horse, not the one in Revelation 19 where Christ, the real Christ, is coming, but the counterfeit, the spirit of Antichrist, the birth and the rise and eventually the apocalypse. Revelation 6, in reference to the first horse, there's a conquest. And I believe the Spirit of God in prophetic biblical revelation has given a heads up of the sequential development that takes us right into the Hey Thalipsis, Hey Magali, the great, the tribulation. And I do believe that it is the demonically, satanically inspired, developed plot in order to bring a new regime and a world leader that can grab the globe. Let me say to all the globalists, you'll never arrive to globalism. It will not occur without the devastating chaos first. I think the underground knows that. It's a regime change. The need to get out of the way, the order that stands in the way, including eliminating, I believe, probably, maybe millions of individuals, including believers in Christ, to get those who would stand in opposition. I mean, there are cult writers like Alice Bailey, guided by the demon, that talks about a cleansing, a need to get rid of, a need of collapse. I mean, 2012ers, others, Webbot, they're all talking about this chaos. Albert Pike in this Luciferian release of information from his point of view, a chaos before the New World Order. The chaos is plotted, planned to bring the world to the knees. Now, I've spelled this out in the book, The Black Awakening, clearly. The reason for the chaos is collapse, eliminating resistors, bringing the world to the emotional crying need of a help and a savior, the rise of the new regime, Antichrist and the new regime, to be that fake savior. I believe that involves a kind of bonding, an emotional spiritual bonding to the savior and savior regime that comes to bring out a new day, a new order, a new politic, a new economic, a new military, a new environmental cause. Let's save the world, the Antichrist could use as a slogan. But it's that regime that caused the bloodshed, the chaos, that's operative in the United States and the world around. Oh, they're here. And when it all breaks loose, and when all hell breaks loose, I believe the Red Horse, Revelation 6, is a description of a startling burst, seemingly almost out of nowhere. Peace is taken from the earth. The earth, globally. It's a global thing. That in the release of the dark presence, in the bulging at the seams, when God removes the restrainer, 2 Thessalonians 2, hell literally, from that side to this side, bursts into human society with a plotted anarchy, chaos, destruction, whatever you want to call it. And with that comes the unprecedented ushering in of the darkest demonic manifested presence globally that I think, in my opinion, is what helps suck or take peace, you know, out of the earth. If you read about the red horse, pyros is the Greek word, fiery red horse. It's like this massive strike, a fireball of hell. That's why I call it all hell being released. What's been forged in hell, plotted at hell's kitchen, is now on the table here in human society. And it involves that mankind, read Revelation 6, read about the pyros or fiery red horse, where mankind, and some have said before, this involves war. Well, it may involve levels of war or breaking out. But more than that, you read where it says man begins to kill, murder man. People begin to slaughter. Literally, the Greek word is butcher. And it is used in riotous, anarchy, insurrection, like a coup, where an unleashing comes out. And that literally describes what undergrounders have described to me that have been highly trained for this anarchy. Bloodshed. Butchering of humanity. I do believe that programmed demonized individuals will be unleashed to such a level in a frenzy spiritually, butchering. And something's got to stop. Something's got to stop nations going to all-out war, possibly environmental things occurring at the same time, earthquakes, tsunamis, whatever. And the direct unleashing, when the restrainer, you and I do not have any idea how broad, how wide, how global the sovereign restraint of God is all about. In 2 Thessalonians 2, it is as if the finger of God, whether angel or God, the Holy Spirit, the restrainer, keeps this revolt, this anarchy, this black awakening, and the inseparable connection to the apocalypse of the Antichrist keeps it from bursting out on the scene. It is only when the restraint is removed does this happen. And so if you can understand that it's as if hell is bulging at the seams, the undergrounders say that they're ready. It seems you can feel it in the air, which I believe is a spiritual discernment worldwide now. That ominous, catastrophic, I mean, when you have Art Bell and George Norrie and others, when you have millions upon millions that do, worldwide, probably billions that feel, that all hell is about ready to come. Well, I'm going to tell you what, the feeling is based on biblical prophetic revelation. It is based on God giving the insight of what the dark side will do, what God is about to do when he removes the restraint. When mankind slams the door in the face of God, embraces once again in the broadest of ways the fallen cherub, the lie of a spiritual evolution to deification, the precursors of the New Age over these last 60, 70 years has prepared the way. The rituals that I've mentioned in the new series, Dark Rituals, Dark Powers, done at a level of hundreds of millions in the last 60 years, have unleashed a presence so volatile that it's prepared the way for the anarchy that will collapse the existing order and make way for the rise of a new order. It's all a spiritual thing, my friends. It's all a spiritual thing. It is all about what I think in the Old Testament was the prophet that cried out by the Spirit of God, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." There is a Prince of Peace that at the cross shook all of hell itself, devastating the legalities. It is that Prince that will come in Revelation 19 that ends the madness, the coming global destructions, the possibility of entire annihilation. It is Christ. Savior, 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 God. The same God that in the end will wipe away every tear. There is the sovereign, immense, infinite immeasurability, the power of God, the knowledge of God. But don't forget the will. God is not willing that any perish, not you, not anyone. If you're a believer in Christ, it is God at work in you to help bring others to Christ. So become fierce in prayer in these days and become a passionate witness for Jesus Christ. Anarchy. All hell is about to be unleashed. Dr. Stan Monteith in our last interview asked me, "Russ, how long? What did the undergrounders say? What do you feel?" My opinion would be, I can't see that this would be more than 5 years away. Maybe if it's 10 years away, but I can't, I don't know, 3-5 years away. I know the undergrounders, they're ready today. They're ready that if the activation, if the whatever, when the restraint is moved, you can be sure that hell is unleashed, they know what holds them back. I am confident, I am clear that they absolutely know what does hold them back. And so when the restrainer is removed, all hell breaks loose. Then that makes the way for the apocalypse, which has the idea of unveiling. So the anarchy first, the globally impacted collapse destruction, it'll involve environmental destruction for sure. It'll involve bombing, maybe chemical warfare, maybe limited nukes, maybe, you know, it'll involve a lot. But the new regime, the apocalypse of Anthropos Anama, 2 Thessalonians 2, involves, now listen, the word apocalypse means simply that as if you were going to a museum to see a statue that had been created, but you're going to the showing, the unveiling, where there is a big white sheet over the statue. It's an apocalypse. That's what apocalypse is. When all of a sudden all the people are there and they talk all about it, and then they pull the sheet away to unveil to you visually what has been there all along. Behind a dark black sheet, in a secret power of lawlessness expressed all over the world, expressed in lives, expressed in the Vatican, expressed everywhere, hidden, operative. Waiting to full. I mean, we see, I think, the leaking of it everywhere. That's why there's so many billions involved in searching the concepts of conspiracy and catastrophe and so forth. But again, the Spirit of God, infinite, uncreated, gives the exact, infallible, accurate information about actual future human history. And an unveiling will occur, an apocalypse of the Antichrist who's already here. My opinion is he's already here. The regime's already waiting. The rituals are being done. The preparations are there. It's infiltration into political and military, environmental, governmental, across the board. It's all here. It's the anarchy and then the apocalypse. Antichrist can rise because the restrainer is removed. Things have been leveled. And the lying, here I am to save the day, visible appearance of Satan in human skin. I've got a series called The Rise of Homo Satanus. I think we got about 16 hours up already. It'll be 50 hours by the time we're done, in giving the biblical descriptions of the Antichrist. Listen, we should know this because we're talking about the most spiritually empowered human, outside of God in Christ, of course, but this is now Satan in a counterfeit incarnation. That's why I call it Satan in human skin. And with his appearance to the world, as Daniel says, he looks like a man, like a face of a man, a boastful mouth, be very stern. He's going to have to be. The new regime with Antichrist leading will have to be able to be so fixed and strong and supernaturally empowered so as to bring the world together in a counterfeit, masqueraded peace, political, economic, military system that I believe includes a we shall save the environment, we shall save the earth. I believe the dark side knows the earth is cursed. I believe the dark side, just as Satan knew of the first coming of Christ, Revelation 12, and the second appearance visually of Christ, Revelation 19:19, I believe that he knows all prophecy, including the prophecy about a new earth. The new earth does not have Satan there. He is bound. He is gone. It's well, eventually, eternally, he is forever gone. Great White Throne Judgment. See, I believe the dark side knows this, and that's part of their passion to try to beat it. If only they can eliminate Christ in a return, that can eliminate Satan being bound for 1,000 years, and ultimately the Great White Throne Judgment. Again, this desire to destroy and annihilate God in every way and use mankind and possibly some of you listening by God's good arrangement that has embraced the spirits of the new age that are precursors to this rise of Antichrist and the end of days. Get out. Get out now. Well, the Antichrist brings, I believe, such a spiritual presence that then evokes eventually the massive clash. The toxic effect, well, listen, once again, Revelation. Revelation chapter 9. In reference to the third thing, we read about a third of the earth. This is Revelation. Let me go to Revelation 8 first. Listen, as you read about wormwood, when you read Revelation 8, you're going to find that the environment is struck again and again and again. That by the time you get to verse 7, the first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood. And it was hurled down upon the earth. A third of the earth was burned up. A third of the trees were burned up. And all the green grass was burned up. A third of the sea turned into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died. A third of the ships were destroyed. A third angel sounded his trumpet. A great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. When you read, you're going to find a third, a third, a third, a third, and at the very end of chapter 8, as I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the trumpet blasts about to be sounded by the three other angels." That takes us, my dear friends, into Revelation chapter 9. The blast of the anarchy, the rise of the Antichrist. Third, the striking of the environment, the earth, a third burned everything, a third of everything. Prior to the rise or the opening of the abyss, Revelation 9, this is the fourth thing, the abyss. Again, on the dark side, it is open. They get the key. They get the authority. It is all involved in them opening this. Some think it from the inside out, some think from the outside in. Verse 2 says, when he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke of a gigantic furnace. The sun and the sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. Now, let me say something quickly about this because we're running out of time. I've done a series with seven MP3s. You can go to shatterthedarkness.net, scroll down to the right-hand side. You can get that. But the abyss will bring a global... Look at the volcano in Iceland. Look at Mount St. Helens. Now we're talking about something on the demonic side dimensionally breaks into the physical in such a way as to literally darken the skies, shut out the sun, affect the environment. And the disclosure that many of the alienologists and those who hope in alien, you know, the gods, the ancient ones to come back, and all those who are doing the spiritual, well, the counterfeit spiritual things to open the doors for that, you're not going to like the disclosure of the abyss. You're not going to like the fact that anyone and everyone that does not have the Spirit of God, Christ in them, will be the targets of this dark, toxic presence, and torment and pain will come. My friends, I have great news to tell you. Friday, we are going to talk about the lifting of the curse, the new earth. We are in the midst of a spiritual battle, and I pray that you know the living Christ. Receive Jesus into your life. Call out to him to come into your life and be Savior and Lord. Listen, we are out of time. Rust is dar. Shatterthedarkness.net.